All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, July 26th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a big 12-game MLB main slate later this evening. Should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, we're going to get the app pulled up here and do have some questions to go over here. So as a quick reminder, I know that we've been doing it the last 2 days here. So we are still doing our build review show. Hope you guys have been enjoying that the last 2 days here. I know Jordan is doing another one today, and then we'll see if he picks it back up next week. So plenty of builds to review, plenty of people participating. If you want your build reviewed live on stream, drop your username on DraftKings in the YouTube chat or in the Office Hours channel in Discord. That way Jordan can have that and he can go in and review your build, your portfolio, your sim ROIs, give you some tips and strategies to help you make better lineups here. So it's been a cool trial run so far. Enjoyed the episodes myself. Hope you guys are enjoying them too. All right, couple questions here. We did have a question from Phantom that I'm going to circle back to. I am not ignoring it. Just need some quick clarification before I answer that one. So going to go to this first one from Jay Sams Jr. Question says, how can we tell the potential K rates of a team from looking at their lineups? So probably the only thing you could do here, right? Like, let's say we want to go and look at Baltimore, and then I want to go to all batters. You know, there is going to be values in the strikeout column for the batter. So, you know, the strikeout column means two different things for batters and pitchers, right? For batters, it's showing how often they are striking out. It's not going to give you a percentage per se here, but it is going to show you which batters are striking out more on average in our sims. So, for instance, Gunnar Henderson in across, you know, our 5,000 game sims of the game on the slate, he strikes out on average one time per game. So that's what that is, right? If you're trying to look for somebody with a lower strikeout rate, Anthony Santander at 0.62. So then if I go to Baltimore, though, and I go over to pitchers, and then I go and Grayson is showing 4.88 strikeouts. This is his strikeouts against the other team. So Grayson is striking out 4.88 batters on average of the Padres in our game sims. So that's how to read that information. But as far as like rates go, you're not going to find a percentage. You're always going to find this summary information here. All right. Next question here from Miami. And question says, on filters, I've seen Jordan simply stack multiple filter conditions into one, which I usually do. Yet many times I notice you've set each one individually. Is there a reason to individually set filter conditions into separate sets or just a personal preference? Good question. Honestly, there's no difference. And we can just run a build here and show that on screen here. But the way the filters work, it's just like an and condition. So it's like, hey, do this one and do this other one. I usually do it separate just because I have like a little checklist. It's like, okay, hey, put a filter for the ROI, put a filter for the other ROI. If I'm doing showdown, you know, put a filter for the geo mean. And one thing I like about doing it separate, I'll say, is that I get to see the effect that it has a little bit better. So like when I do it separate, it's like, okay, how many lineups did this first filter remove? And then it's like, okay, it removed X. And then it's like, okay, well, how many lineups did this second filter remove? It's like, okay, that did Y. So one thing like I'll do on like showdown slates, like, you know, NFL, NBA season, it's like, okay, hey, let's do a filter for geometric mean. How many lineups are we removing? Oh, okay, we're removing maybe 500. Okay, well, then let's go and do one for salary. Then how many are we removing? Oh, we're removing 250. And it's like, if I did it together, it would just, you know, get rid of the 750. But I don't know. I just kind of like to see the effect that the filters are having on my pool individually. And that's why I prefer to do them separate. But as far as the actual, you know, functionality, as opposed to like what's actually happening here, there is no difference. So it's just a process thing. And, you know, I wouldn't look at it any more than that, but definitely see the attention to detail, noticing how just such a small thing that we do differently here. But that's just the way that I prefer to do it. All right. And basically what I was talking about here is like I go into the filters, right? Say I want to do one for projected score, you know, show me projected score greater than 90, right? Okay, that removes 73 lineups. So I could either keep this filter and then go and do another one where, you know, maybe I don't want to play lineups with some ownership greater than 100%, right? And I'm just making up. I am literally making up numbers right now. And then so we went from 73 to 426. It's like, okay, well, I know that the ownership had that, you know, higher effect, right? If, because I kind of did it separate, even though they're together here. But writing these in one or writing these broken out doesn't matter. So that's how that works. All right. Question here from Cake. If I have this filter set, will it only build with the confirmed people regardless if out players have a projection status? It was a status confirmed filter. So I just made a note for myself that it was a picture where basically say you're on the pre-build here, right? You're getting ready to build your lineups. And then you come in to the filters, which is next to the search bar. You open up this dropdown, you go to add filter. And the filter was show players with status is confirmed. And what you'll see when you do this is that the builder is going to go into the player pool. And then it's going to say, okay, it's basically looking for a check mark in this box because the check mark means that the lineup is confirmed. This player is confirmed in the lineup, right? I don't love this. It's not a terrible idea, but it's not my favorite because like half hour before and maybe, you know, the Colorado and San Francisco lineups aren't out yet. Well, that basically means you are excluding this game. The pitchers in the game, the batters in the game, like no matter what, you are going to remove them because they do not have a check mark. So it's basically saying only include players in the player pool with a check mark. Anybody without a check mark, remove that player from the player pool. So not my favorite thing there. I understand how it could be helpful. Like maybe you're in a time crunch. Maybe you're not going to be around later for lock. You know, it's a Friday night. I could see how it would be useful in that context there, but you know, just excluding people just to exclude them is like not my favorite thing to do. So just be cautious, but your understanding of how it works is indeed correct. All right. Let's build some lineups. No more questions here at the moment. So let's do a lineup demo here. And what I would do if I was building for tonight is first go and, well, I want to set up my contest sim, but I want to be time conscious. So let's just make two adjustments, two projections. Let's turn this filter off. We're not going to need that bad boy. And let's go to our settings. And, you know, let's say we are playing a 3 max tonight, right? We don't do a lot of 3 max build demos. 3 max, 1 to 10K entrance here. Going to drop down to my lineup rules. Only rule that I want to have on is the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. And that looks perfect. So I'm going to kick off my lineups. Just going to build 500 here. Don't need 5,000 for the sake of this demo. If you were building your lineups, I would build the max number of lineups, but just trying to save a little bit of time here on the show. So while those lineups build, I'm going to jump over to the contest tab and I'm going to go and find a 3-max lineup or 3-max contest. So let's say we are playing, we're playing the Hot Corner, right? This falls right within our build parameters, 1 to 10K entrance, and it is a 3-max. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the self-sim format here where I'm going to create the contest sim twice. And then we'll talk about the difference between filtering together versus filtering separate here. So lineups are built. Got to go to my contest sim settings here. And just change the field lineup source for one of the contest sims here. So just going to name it slightly differently. I'm going to change the field lineups from low stakes 20 max to the actual build two here. And I'm going to click save. So now that these two are set up, I'm going to make sure they're both checked. So they both run. And then I'm going to click run, right? So now we're basically all set. Just going to wait for those contest sims to finish here. I did not mean to sort by exposure. I mean, by name. I meant to sort by exposure. All right. So just moving columns around a little bit. I can see everything I need to see. Boom. All right. So contest sim is finished. So see, the reason I like to do these two filters separately is I actually think this is like really cool. So if I say, show me ROI greater than zero against the field, it trashes 344 lineups. I have 205 available. Now what I want to do is, okay, in the self-sim, show me lineups with ROI greater than zero. And then we went from, I believe, 344 to 385. There are 41 lineups in this pool that grade out well against the field lineups, but do not grade out well against the other lineups in our pool. And even if we wanted to just like go and look at those, we could turn off the first filter, right? Actually, I don't know how to isolate those because, oh, maybe I did it backwards. So let's see if we can like isolate those lineups. But there's going to be overlap, unfortunately. So it's going to be hard. But really, like, that is what the self-sim is doing. It's taking lineups that it's adding like a second layer of check to your lineups, right? And I'm able to see this because I do two filters, right? If I turn these off, I could also do the same exact thing where I do one filter, where it's like, hey, show me ROI greater than zero. And in this contest sim, and show me ROI greater than zero in this other contest sim. And then it'll just trash all of them at once. So you kind of don't see the effect that it's having. But I like to see that effect because it's like, okay, when I take these 41 lineups, they grade out well against the field lineups in the ownership build. But then when I play these lineups against themselves, they actually don't grade out as well. And usually this is because in the field lineups, those lineups are so low owned. But in our actual build, because SaberSim is, you know, running the sim diversity and building this diverse pool, those lineups and those stacks actually end up coming up more in your stack exposures. So because there is more exposure to whatever team in question in your pool, then they end up grading out worse because maybe they were like 1% owned in the field, but now they're, you know, 5% owned in your pool of lineups. And just that change from 1% to 5%, those lineups just end up being so sensitive to the small ownership adjustment where the ROI of those lineups in the field was actually very, very fragile. And because of that fragility, you know, you kind of don't want to play them because ownership can come in on a spectrum. You'd rather play lineups that grade out well, you know, in this twofold step process, which is why we're doing it to start with. So pretty, just something good to look at here. All right. So I'm going to change my lineups to three. Want to sort by the self-sim risk-adjusted ROI. And, you know, we talk about this, right? The bigger the lineup to pool ratio, the more mini uniques you're going to be able to get to, right? Also, it's a 12-game slate. So I bet that we're going to be able to get to a very high number of mini uniques very, very easily. And look, I'm at mini uniques of six, and I'm at lineup four. So we are playing lineups one, three, and four. We only skipped lineup two, and we're already at mini uniques of six. And sometimes we never even get to that number at all, right? And then at mini uniques of one, our average projection across the three lineups is 104.3. Let's see what happens when we go down to seven. Okay. So these lineups are like super diverse out of the gate, right? Like lineups one, three, and four share less than three players in all of the lineups. But let's say I want to go to mini uniques of eight. Okay, still those three lineups. Let's go mini uniques of nine. Okay, so here, so at mini uniques of nine, where the lineups, you know, only share one player and they're all a pitcher, right? We really like Freddy Peralta. We're playing lineups 1, 4, and 12. And our average projection has gone from 104.1 to 102.9, effectively like 103, right? So I think this is like fine. I think this is awesome. You know, these lineups are so diverse. You're sharing one pitcher across, you know, six pitcher slots, and then you're playing every single batter is only being used one time. Like if you're playing three lineups on a 12 game slate, like think about how many players are in the player pool. So 24 teams, nine batters per team, you know, 24 pitchers. It ends up being just a, very large number of players in your player pool, and you're only playing 10 players per lineup, right? So think about it like this, you know, if every position in your lineups was unique, you're only playing 30 players out of a 240 person player pool, right? I mean, we're talking about effectively like 10 players per team with the pitcher times 24, because there's 12 games. So 240 players in the player pool that are all viable, and you're only playing 30, which is 1/8 of the player pool. You know, you're playing more players in the player pool on a 20 and 150 in your 20 and 150 max builds all the time. So if you're building for a three max, which we just chose to do a three max today, you know, I think that's like a fine approach. Even if you wanted to go at mini uniques of 10, like don't play any player more than once, right? And mind you, we only built 500 lineups, and we filtered these lineups down to 164. So out of 164 lineups, there are indeed at least three that share no players. And, you know, we have to go a little bit further down to find those lineups, but we're looking at lineup number one, lineup number 31, lineup number 87, and all of them are positive sim ROI. Lowest is sim ROI of 12%. And, you know, if you were doing this on a bigger scale, if you were building the max number of lineups you could, 5,000, you know, even if you were playing three maxes, right? If you're playing nine lineups, you need to build nine lineups. I mean, you scale the pool here from 500 to 5,000, that's like 10X. Well, then, you know, you would still have plenty of lineups available to you, even if you're playing three times the amount of lineups, playing three maxes. So that's what I'm saying, where it's like, you know, if you scale this and your sim diversity, and still be playing totally viable lineups. So that's what I would be thinking about there. All right. Next question here from Jimmy, and let me just get this one in the chat. And question is, Jimmy said, Does SaberSim get ownership data from FanDuel for late swap playing MLB? So the answer is no. And the reason for that is that DraftKings allows us to download the contest data even while the contest is live. So at every, you know, start at every game start time, the players are locking and DraftKings is updating their CSV. They have a CSV that you can export the lineups to. And as the players' ownerships become available to view in the app, they also become available for download. Unfortunately, FanDuel does not allow the contest data to be downloaded. That's why we can't do post-contest sims. That's why we can't do live ownership and actual ownership and rebuilding the lineups and things like that. So, you know, we're kind of at the mercy of the site in that regard. We wish we could. And if they ever do allow it, we will definitely be adding that to the app. But all right. Looks like we are all caught up here. I know I owe Phantom a response, so I will get back to Phantom in the Discord. But other than that, looks like we're all caught up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.